The next great messianic text that is applied to Jesus Christ in the New Testament is found in Psalm 45, especially verses 7 and 8. It is the psalm that deals with the wedding day of a king. And it becomes a type or a pointer to Jesus Christ as the final king who is God in the flesh. As we look at this great text, the psalmist is talking about the king and his throne and what and why he is so highly elevated. We pick that up in verse 7. It reads, Ki sechai Elohim ola ve'ed, shevet mishur, shevet malchutecha. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The rod of equity is the rod of your kingdom. Notice we begin this great psalm, or this great verse, in seeing its application to Christ, with the phrase, Ki secha Elohim ola ve'ed. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The noun kiseh means throne, and it is followed by ha, the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. Literally, your throne, O Mighty One, O God, is forever. Olam is a noun meaning forever, and Ad is another noun meaning forever, with the conjunction ve prior to ed. Notice God's throne is an eternal throne. And then he goes on to say, Shevet Mishur, Shevet Malchutecha. The rod of equity is the rod of your kingdom. Shevet is a noun, masculine singular, and it is in construct with Mishur, meaning equity or fairness. The scepter of equity is the scepter of your kingdom. Notice the repetition of the noun again, the noun shevet, or scepter, followed by malchut, which is the noun that means kingdom, and the ha is the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular, put to this noun, malchut. Notice the word, as we think of its meaning and application, the word Elohim. We translate it, your throne, O Elohim, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of equity is the scepter of your kingdom. Elohim means God. And it is used in the Hebrew Bible to refer occasionally to human judges or human leaders, such as a king, showing the power, the greatness, the exaltation of this king as a ruler over others. At one level, it can have the meaning, your throne, O God, is eternal. It is eternal in one level in the sense that it is perpetual. It is also eternal, going back to the Abrahamic covenant, in that it will have no end. But what is interesting about this part of the verse is that the writer of Hebrews quotes this very phrase, but applies it beyond the king, David, to the divinity of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is God who will, in the flesh, who will reign over David's throne forever. As we look at Hebrews chapter 10, it says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. He did not say this to angels, who are sometimes called Elohim, but he said this to the Son. The writer of Hebrews is applying this messianically. It is being applied to Jesus, who, unlike the human king, who is highly elevated, the writer of Hebrews is pointing out that this is the Son who is very, very God, who is fully divine. It is showing his deity in contrast to angels. This is very clear because in verse 10, he will quote Psalm 102, which begins, "From all eternity, O Lord, you have laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of your hand. They shall perish, but you shall abide. And all of them as a garment shall wax old, and as a scroll you shall roll them up, and as a garment they shall be changed. But you are, and your years shall fail not." So all of them as a garment shall wax old, and as a scroll you shall roll them up. Speaking of the foundation of the earth, the heavens. Notice he goes on to say, but you, they can be changed, but you are eternal, and your years fail not. This is clearly a quote from Psalm 102, and is linked here together with the text in Psalm 45 by the writer of Hebrews. That is Psalm 102, linked with Psalm 45, showing both the divinity and eternality of Jesus Christ. What was spoken in Psalm 102 of Yahweh is now being applied straight over the board, so to speak, to Jesus Christ, who is divine. When the writer of Hebrews quotes Psalm 45, then in conjunction with Psalm 102, what he is clearly speaking of here, he is clearly speaking of Yahweh in Psalm 102. So we are seeing in this connection that Jesus Christ is fully God from Psalm 45, which means he is fully divine. We're looking at divinity all the way through here. It is looking at the fact that he is truly Elohim, for he is eternal as well. So there is a double meaning in Psalm 45. The first level is looking at a king of high stature, but its ultimate meaning is looking at Jesus Christ, who is Elohim, who is very God in the flesh. The text is saying that the king here is one whose kingdom is equitous and fair. Certainly, the ultimate kingdom that is going to come, or that has come in Jesus Christ, is equitous, because he is the true and faithful Mashiach, or Messiah. And then he goes on and says, "Ahach tatzedek v'tisna resha al kain meshechacha Elohim Elohecha shemen sason me chaverecha." That is, you have loved righteousness and you have hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your contemporaries. Notice, ahavta tzedek v'tisna resha. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. The verb ahavta is a cow perfect, second masculine singular, from ahav, to love. Tzedek is a noun meaning righteousness. So you have loved righteousness and you have hated lawlessness. Sana is the verb to hate, which is a cow imperfect, second masculine singular, from the root sana, to hate. Notice the final comments. Instead of a pathak under the nun here, because of the aleph, it prefers the comments in this final aleph verb you have hated wickedness. Rasha is a noun meaning wickedness. And so the psalmist goes on to say, Al Kain, Meshachacha Elohim Elohecha, Shemen Sason Mechavirecha. Therefore, the Lord God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your contemporaries. Notice, Al-Kain is a conjunction meaning wherefore, or therefore. Mashachacha means to anoint. It is a cal perfect, third masculine singular from the root mashah. The ha is your pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. And notice, ha takes a composite shava to connect with the final suffix. It's sort of like a hinge connecting with ha. God has anointed you. By the way, this is where we get the word Mashiach, or God's anointed, looking from David to the ultimate Mashiach, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Elohim is the noun referring to God. And so your God, Elohecha, notice Elohim here is repeated, except the noun is in the singular, a noun is in construct with ha, which is your pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So God, your God, has anointed you with oil. Notice shemen is the noun singular for oil in construct with sason, the oil of gladness. It is followed by the preposition men here, but notice the noon has dropped out in the men, meaning from, because the chet, beginning chaverecha, being a guttural, could not take a doubling. And hence we have the usual compensatory lengthening of the hirig to the tseri under the mem. So we have the comparative lengthening of a hirig. We actually are compensating from the, because of the dropping out of the noon, to the tseri here. So more than your contemporaries, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness. Notice chaver is a noun meaning friend. It is plural. Notice the ha here is a pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So it means friend or contemporary or peer. So you've been anointed, the text is saying, above your contemporaries. And so as we translate again the whole verse, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your contemporary. Certainly, the king that is having his wedding day celebrated here loved righteousness and hated wickedness. But ultimately, its final fulfillment is in Jesus Christ by the writer of Hebrews, who is the one who loves righteousness so much that he was willing to become the righteous sacrifice on our behalf. And he hates wickedness and was willing to remove it through his own death upon Calvary. The text is saying that God, your God, to King David, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your contemporaries. The ultimate application, then, is to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have seen in this great book of Hebrews. God the Father has anointed God the Son, Elohim, in verse 7, with the oil of gladness that is beyond his peers. In other words, he is the final King of Kings. the Melech Melachim and the Ha-Adonim Adonai. That is the king, or Adonai Ha-Adonim. That is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the God-man who reigns forever, having an eternal throne, which he has now entered into, according to the writer of Hebrews. He now is at the right hand of God the Father, and praise the Lord, he reigns as the eternal King on his eternal throne. May we make him the King of our lives, and let him reign over us as we dedicate our lives to loving him, obeying him, and being faithful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.